And today for our book review, we're going to be joined by Bishop Vincent Mafu, globally known as the Rated Bishop. He is a visionary, a thought leader. He is one of the best-selling authors and a brand strategist whose influence spans faith, leadership, and identity. And with a very rich academic background and a powerful voice and culture, Bishop Mafu has penned transformative works like The Chief Executive Hustler, Resurrecting the Queens, and The Demons in a Man's Mind, and others. Each book challenging readers to rise boldly in purpose. Today is no different. He is here to share insights from his latest and perhaps the most personal release yet, The Office of the Firstborn Daughter, a compelling look at legacy, unasked for identity, the unseen weight, struggles, and power that the firstborn daughter carries. Vincent Mafu, welcome to Rise FM.
Thank you, ma'am. It's an honor to be here.
Thank you very much for coming onto the show. Very interesting title here. I mean, the title alone is deeply evocative. What inspired you to explore this particular narrative, and how much of it is drawn from personal observation or experience within cultural or spiritual frameworks?
Thank you so much for the question. First of all, I was inspired by my journey in counseling firstborn women, mm-hmm. and then also the cultural context that I have when I observe our cultural attitude towards firstborn daughters. And I believe it's a pandemic that is really injuring royal house in our nation. The patriarchal wound that we have also forced me to literally expound on the office of a firstborn daughter. We often say that if a man has girls, the father's bloodline is ended, when it's not really true. So those type of narratives have forced me to literally take a deeper look in observing, in studying, in traveling, and in actually quantifying my assertion that it's really an office that has never been embraced, particularly done out in our African cultural context.
Yeah. I mean, you speak to a legacy that was never asked for. How does this theme challenge traditional views on inheritance, on duty, on gender roles, particularly in African culture contexts?
It has wounded a lot of women.
Yeah.
In the dimension of inheritance, because we say that the inheritance goes to most of the males. Thank God for the law, if you take the legal arm. But in a cultural context, inheritance usually is passed on to the son in terms of family leadership and headship like that. So if a man does not have a firstborn son, we look at the woman funny that she didn't give him sons. So in answering your question is on inheritance, a lot of our sisters and women are really not honored properly in that dimension. I parallel with the West. When you look at Queen Elizabeth, the royal houses, the office of an heir is a genderless office. We should never allow gender to direct that office. Mm. Queen Elizabeth is a queen, even if she's female. If a royal man gives birth to a daughter, she has every right to inherit the seat and rule. But not in Africa. We actually can abdicate the seat to another man or another brother, that is the males, for inheritance. On top of that, the inheritance of royal chairs. In 54 nations in Africa, we only have two women presidents in all the years we've had. That just shows you how our attitude towards the office of a woman first, yeah, before I even go to the office of a firstborn.
Mm. I mean, you know, Vincent, with firstborn daughters, there's a lot of societal standards or societal demons that a firstborn daughter would have to contend with. So how does your book seek to liberate or empower a firstborn daughter?
Thank you. It empowers them by enlightening them to the office they have. In my study, in my counseling sessions, many firstborn daughters feel like it's a curse. They have failed relational patterns. Most men complain that it feels like you're dating a man when you're dating a firstborn, and they have not been taught. They think that it's a curse or something that they have. I liberate women in the book by saying the virtues and character attributes you have are leadership material that has been endorsed upon you. Simply because you've not been able to express them well does not mean they're a curse. Yes, it's not an easy role to have.
Yeah.
Most of them are parentified. Most of them have EDS, elder daughter syndrome. Most of them don't have a chance to be a child. They are born parents. They are co-parents. You know, so all that baggage and all that experience has given them a sour taste of a firstborn. So number one, the liberty I give women in the book is, it's an office and a role, that if you embrace it first, you are liberated, because already there are few men that can handle you. So you don't have time to relationally experiment whether it will work. That's a luxury firstborn doesn't have.
I love that you
when
just mean
relationships.
Yeah. I love that you've just mentioned men, because, I mean, firstborn daughters often grow up shouldering enormous responsibilities, what psychologists would call today the eldest daughter syndrome. And in your book, The Office of the Firstborn Daughter, you address these pressures head on. Why is this story so crucial, not just for daughters themselves, but also for the men in their lives, be it their partners, their fathers, their husbands? Why is it so important for them to understand and to support them?
Because the fabric or the sign of a healthy community of people is the condition of firstborn daughters. They are the highest rank when it comes to family orientation. So it is important for them to be embraced. It is important for them to heal and have their place, because they are the standard and the benchmark by which we tell a society is healthy or not. A lot of men are not schooled and don't have the mental capacity in terms of material, the ancestral structures, to handle a firstborn. These are nation builders. We look at firstborn, the archetypal ancestors. They set standards for families and outside families. So when you say for men, we can only have good men when we have good firstborn daughters. I give you the analogy of chess. The piece, the most powerful complex piece on a chessboard is the queen. She can outmove the king. The king is the most important, but the queen is the most powerful. Firstborn in society are the most powerful, even if you can have important kings. Without powerful queens, they are useless. And that is what a firstborn is.
True. Where can we get this book, Vincent?
The book will be fully out in August. I just finished it. I've been promoting it extensively because it's at the press as we have it. I do have my copies, but these are not for sale. So the ones that have been my gift for women in August, Women's Month, I will be launching it fully then. It will be on Amazon and probably exclusive books. You'll definitely have it there.
Well, thank you very much for coming on to the show, and we wish you all the best with this book.
Thank you so much for the privilege. I truly am indebted to you guys today.
That's Vincent Dumafu, the author of the wonderful, wonderful book, The Office of the Firstborn Daughter. Get it yourself if you need it. It's Rise FM.